All right, cool. I can't stop smiling. The Lord has given me a bigger smile this week for various reasons. Firstly, it's good to see old friends like Chris, Dion, Lalani, who else have been away for a while, but if I've missed you, I've missed you. Sorry about that. But it's always good to see familiar faces back returning in one piece, full of life, testimony of what God is doing. And I had two similar moments in the last fortnight where my joy tank was just overflowing. Firstly, if you're visiting us, my name is Neil. I do see a few from last week and some that I haven't met. My name is Neil. My wife is Taryn. She's just run out somewhere. And it's wonderful to have you here if you are new. And hopefully we can get to know you. And please be in our bra situation next weekend. Don't miss out because we are, 2 weeks' time. You'll have to come for two more weeks to enjoy the bra. And on 7 December when we do bra, you don't want to miss that morning because a dear friend who also puts a big smile on my face. Actually, he's another reason why I haven't stopped smiling for a few weeks is Mr. Howard James Fivey. For those who know Howie, he's the most creative, effervescent, out-the-box friend that I think I know, and I know a few. But yeah, we've been connecting, him and I, and it hasn't been the typical pastoral coffee. It's been, hey, Brew, when you drop the kids at school, don't you want to join me? Like, and we just go like run up Lion's Head or something. I've been doing that lately. It's pretty cool. And then we can talk about life. And he's coming to lead worship on the 7th of December and stay for our bra. So you don't want to miss that. It's going to be a beautiful morning. We're going to explode with just out-the-box creative music and worship. And then we're going to eat some food. But yeah, he took me up Lion's Head. We didn't walk. That was the problem. We ran from the parking lot up to the top. And he's really fast. 25 minutes, he got to the top. Yeah. And then I get up there, and he's just meeting, like, all the foreigners, telling them about Jesus and just telling them about life in Cape Town, and mostly British people at the top looking very red in their long pants and very sweaty. So it's a story for another day. But the point of joy was just breaking open in the thankfulness of daily life, just being thankful with what we have, that we can breathe, that we can exercise, that we can enjoy life in this most incredible city and meet people everywhere we go. And then after hanging out with Howie twice, I'll start with a story. And it's something that Diewald mentioned, is that the Lord can use you right where you are, and he wants to break open the gospel and the good news from our life, from our wells, into every area, up a mountain, with your boss, with a taxi driver cutting you off for the umpteenth time, break open the gospel, pray and love and bless. And I love what Diewald and Annette shared and how God is using them, even in this busy season. We saw that lady, we saw Roxanne that morning give her life after Tommy from Ireland had preached the gospel in Sunningdale. She went forward and we were there with them to celebrate. It was a wonderful moment, and she's continuing in the journey with the Lord. That's the best thing. That wasn't just a moment, but she's continually responding towards him. And so I felt prompted in my spirit to go and visit a man in hospital. Okay, not just any man. I do know him, and it was quite a remarkable story. He'd had a stroke, suffered a stroke for the third time in a fairly young life. He's 57-year-old, had two strokes at 57, and at 62 now he's had a third one. And my mom is in a wheelchair at home for now, I think 7 years. I think she visited Greenpoint in our first or second year. We're now 8 years on. And I remember Tandeka and some of the ladies just with her, and my mom was so strong and fit. That's the last memory I have of her, strong and fit. It's a good 7 years, just without the use of her body, wheelchair-bound and really sick. And so I have this, stroke is not a cool thing for me. We've experienced loss. Daily we experience loss because she is alive, but her life is, there's no, what's the word I'm looking for? There's no quality of life, and you experience that loss. It's a terrible thing to happen when you have a stroke, because you either lose your ability to speak or your bodily functions or both. So my heart went out to our friend, Clarence is his name. And I tried to get in to go and visit him, and it was pretty hard because the church family are just taking up every hour of visiting hour. I was like, yes, Lord, this is such a beautiful thing. So I got on the roster, and as soon as there was an opening, I popped in. Because it's in the City Bowl at the Booth Memorial Hospital that he's getting his rehabilitation. And we'll remember we used to go in home groups in City Bowl back in the day. Guys would go and pray at Booth Memorial Hospital for the... I'd never really gone in and seen it, but it was a really not a bad facility at all. It was actually amazing, like, to see that for $400 a day, you can get that kind of treatment and that kind of facility and that kind of those kind of staff members. We are so blessed. I'm sitting there looking out of his window over our city, thinking, how blessed are we that if you don't have a lot of finance, you can still come here. So long story short, I didn't really know what to expect. I actually probably expected Clarence to be maybe not able to talk much. And the smile on his face when I walked in was like seeing Jesus lying there, the sun coming in the room, the biggest joyful smile you could ever imagine. I'm so happy to see you, my friend. And for the hour of visiting hour, I didn't get much time to talk because I just received thankfulness and gratitude and Jesus from this man who was told you'll need 12 months to rehabilitate. It was a very, very severe stroke. He's already had two, bear that in mind. But this third stroke was so deep in his brain that he said that where it happened was in the area that affects your speech. But now he's telling me that, so it means he's speaking, right, if you follow. So I'm like, okay, Lord. And the Bible sitting on his window, and he said, you know what my speech therapy was, Neil? I just take that Bible. Now, he's a gifted teacher, Clarence, if any of you remember. He's a wonderful teacher of the Word. He said, I grabbed hold of the Word, and I just began to speak the Word of God. That's been my therapy. And they can't believe it, that where the stroke happened, in my speech area, deep inside the brain. He said, Neil, I came in here. I visited him 2 weeks ago. I came in here 3 weeks ago prior. So it's 5 weeks from today, around about. He said, I lay in this bed. I was like a vegetable, my friend, staring at the ceiling. Like that. His left side, which is his strong side, was affected by the two previous strokes. You know, when you can remember Clarence, he's got a little bit of a limp, but he's actually come back really strong. He was a real fighter previously in that stroke. So this side is already slightly weakened. The whole right side needs a lot of rehab. It's not working. So it hit the other side. But he shouldn't be speaking, you know, so soon at least. And he is just smiling and oozing the joy of Jesus. He is so thankful, okay? And he's grabbed hold of that Bible, and he's spoken the Word of God out to exercise his brain and his speaking muscles and abilities. And then he's doing little sit-ups in his bed because he says, I've got to get the physical side strong, especially my left, which is a bit weak. And he's doing his little sit-ups. And he says, and the right side, I know God's going to deal with that too because he's already done so much. And I'm like, oh, Lord, you are ministering to me. I'm so glad I heard your Spirit's voice to just go take an hour in our city and go visit a friend. Man, because I know what it's like going through this with a family member. It is a terribly difficult thing to recover from. You need to be strong, and you need to do a lot of work. And you need, but God and his word and his people. And then he went on to say to me that you've got to understand that people don't get visitors in this place. Some of you may know, have worked in hospitals, ministered there. See, there was a man who never got one visitor in my first three weeks that he was here. And I've had people coming from the church that I haven't even met in my congregation. And they're in here massaging my weak arm and my weak hand and my weak feet and my weak. And while I'm talking to this person from my congregation, Sunningdale PM, that I haven't really met before, they're coming here, I'm getting to know them, and they're massaging me so I can strengthen my muscles, and we're ministering to one another. I'm like, Lord Jesus. And every nurse, of course, is getting ministered to at the same time. So now he says, they were worried about me when I came in here staring at the ceiling. He says, Neil, now the nurses are coming in. Hey, Pastor, could you pray for this one and my family? And every little lunch break, they're coming in. And how are you doing this? No, but it's my God. And yes, I will pray for you. And he's ministering to them. And so long story about the visitor next door, the man next door, is that he never got one visitor in 3 weeks. And Clarence said, I watched him get worse and worse in his condition. And he actually digressed. And he said, Neil, just the other day before you came here, he died without knowing the Lord, as far as I know. And he said, man, how blessed are we to have what we have? How can I not smile? How can I not be thankful? And when I arrived there, he was actually talking to people in the church in 412 and the nations. He put the video off. He said, I've got a visitor. Give me an hour. And then what happened was, Monet shared with us recently that our 412 partnering churches in Switzerland had taken up an offering for Clarence because he'd been working into Switzerland, him and his wife, Azalea, for quite a while, going to Switzerland, taking teams, really helping the church in Switzerland to work through a number of things and to grow. And just recently, he'd been there for 3 months. I think they'd been there for 3 months. I mean, quite an intense time, actually. But sowing into the family of God in the Swiss nation. And that church heard about what he'd gone through, took up an offering. He said, "Now, you can't believe this. All my medical bills covered. God has covered them through the people of God, even in another nation." But he said, "Neil, here's the thing. I chose this facility. It's a lot cheaper, 400 rand a day versus maybe 5 grand a day at like Bloberg or Netcare. But truly, the Booth Memorial Hospital is a wonderful little rehab center. It's really cool." And he said, "I'm really happy here. And I'm ministering to people. But here's the thing. When I get home, I have to change my home because we've got some steps. I've got to get a flat home now. So we've got to move. So that's a prayer request. But actually, the church in Switzerland gave so much. They said, you can even take a portion for rental. We want to make sure you get in the right house so you can continue doing God's work. And I'm going to need a different wheelchair. I'm going to need a hospital bed at home. I'm going to need, it's covered. Everything is covered." And he's sitting there with joyful tears in his eyes. And I'm just being ministered to the goodness of God and how amazing it is to follow a father that cares about us in every situation. He provides. He loves. And he blows people away with testimony. You don't hear about this stuff outside the kingdom of our eternal God. It is beautiful. And his zeal for the Father's house continues. Last point about my visit. All Clarence wants to do is get home, get into a bed that can lift him up, where he can do his exercises, a flat home where people can come. He's going to live right next to the church where he's part of, Sunningdale PM, so that as soon as I'm going again, maybe January, February, I can say to my lead elder, for the guys that want to do membership and foundations and who we are as a church, they want to come through my home and I'll do the teaching. We'll put Andrew's videos on. I'll open the word and I will have all those people through my home. I won't be able to drive to people, but they can come to me. And I can't wait to get going. And I'm like, I went there thinking, I don't know what to expect. And I've seen the other side of when you get sick like this and you digress. My own mum, without the Lord, you know, but with the Lord and with his people, we have everything to live for. No matter our circumstances here, the gospel continues to go out, the good news, and joy and thankfulness well up and overflow and begin to affect everybody, from nurses to visitors. Isn't it beautiful? I also ministered to guys. I had to tell you the story. And I'm trying to go back and visit, but I can't get into the roster because there's so many people wanting to go and visit so they can see the goodness of God. And thankfulness and gratitude is such a big theme in the Word of God, isn't it? Making the most of the now. Think of Paul, all the powerful letters he wrote from prison. You think to yourself, how did you do that in that circumstance? We're still devouring that word and discovering it, as Henku shared so brilliantly last week, falling in love with that word, discovering God through the words, through the New Testament letters, some of which were written by Paul in that circumstance. Yet that joy is imputed into us by the Holy Spirit as we read not just words, but life-giving, breathed-out wisdom from God. But he used that situation. And so what does he have for us to be thankful? What do we have to be thankful for? I want to jump to a scripture, and Warren will show me just 4 or 5 scriptures, and then we're going to break away and spend some time with God. But 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16 to 18, 1 Thessalonians 5. You can follow chapter 5, verse 16 to 18. I'm going to read from the NIV. 1984 UK version. "Be joyful always," Paul writes, "and pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." So did we get that? Sometimes we say, "Lord, what is your will? God, what is your will for my life? I want to know your will." Well, there we go. God's will for you in his Son, Christ Jesus, is that we will be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. Do you know what the Greek word for all is? All. Be joyful always. Do you know what the Hebrew word for always is? Always. Always. Jeff Kidwell taught me that joke. Okay. But it's true. It's plain English. We read the Bible in its plain form. It means that no matter what, we don't have a way out. We need to be joyful always. And we need to give thanks in every circumstance or in all circumstances. And there's a little phrase in between there. It says, pray continually. Now, I think the key for living like this is to talk to God all the time, to engage with Him, spend time with Him, discover Him, fall in love with Him, as we heard last week. A continual prayer keeps us in constant relationship with Him, with our Father, with His Son, Jesus. He's given us His life, with the Holy Spirit, who is our joy, who is our everything, no matter what we're facing. And by continually praying, we get to live in this place of joy and thanksgiving. I hope we can get that. Psalm 136, right at the beginning, says this: give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Babes, you remember that song? Hayley, friend's not with us this morning. We arrived in Swaziland, our first ever outreach of any sort. It was in the Assembly of God where we were saved and baptized and married. We went to visit our friend Hayley, who was in the mission field in Bulembu, Swaziland, and it was tough. And we raced in the one day, late on a Sunday. We just flown into Joburg, drove through Nelspruit, Pig's Peak, into the valley, and this American missionary took us into Bulembu, into this town, and he was speeding in this Mercedes Sprinter. We're like, Lord, keep us safe. Mountains, dirt roads, cliff faces. We finally got there. The reason was church was starting at like 4 p.m. We got there at like 4:02. And as we walked in this setting, they were singing this song: give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. And they had nothing, guys. And the joy on their faces was like, man, this is why we go out. This is why we go out, because we actually get ministered to by people in different circumstances to us. And every time we come back more grateful, more thankful, more joyful, and with more humility, actually. And I love what the psalmist says here in Psalm 136, because he says in that, we actually have two reasons from that verse to be thankful. The first one is God is, His goodness is constant and it's always. His goodness never changes. It's the first one. And His steadfast love. His goodness never changes and His steadfast love is forever. These things will never change. The world is changing fast around us. Oh my word. If you just switch on the news, yesterday's news is old. Today there's something more shocking. You're like, how did it change? How did in 24 hours it get so bad? So my prayer is like, Lord, keep us so close, because it is wilder out there than any of our imaginations could have arrived at, if we're honest. You can only go, Lord, this is what you said would happen in these last days. We get so crazy out there that our only option not to try fix the world, but to remain in You, to stay in Your steadfast love, to find You in Your goodness, and to overflow with joy to a world that is totally lost. John 10:10 is the next one I want to look at. John 10:10. Thanks, Warren. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. Jesus, I have come that we may have life and have it to the full. So I want to focus on the first part. What does the thief come to steal? What does he go for? Goes for lots. But we don't, you know, if our enemy can steal our joy, it's like winning the scrum battle. If you can just stop those Springbok front rowers, you can sort out the rest. You know what I mean? It's like, if I can just do damage there, we'll get these guys. You know, if I can steal their joy, that they begin to sit in their circumstances and point fingers at God, complain, grumble, criticize. I've got them. God's people will not be effective. They will not impact their world. We got to watch the thief who comes only to steal and kill and destroy and rob us, starting to rob our joy and begin to erode at the very thing that we call to live as an overflow. Okay, John 10:10. The writer of Hebrews in chapter 12 and verse 26 says this: Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe.
Thank you, Maurice.
And I say that again. Therefore, since we are receiving, am I on the right one? Therefore, since we are receiving, thank you, Maurice, a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. So the beautiful thing is we are receiving this kingdom. Interestingly, the writing is not we've received it. When we realize that it's a going on receiving constantly until that day of salvation, as Peter writes, our salvation will come in full when he perfects us, when he comes to take us home. The kingdom we are receiving, we've received it in part, legally it's declared over us. The kingdom has come, but it's constantly breaking in. Kingdom is both now and not yet. It's now, it's for us, but it's not fully yet, it's coming. In its fullness, it's coming. So since we are receiving something, means as we daily walk in this place of receiving our salvation, growing up in it, receiving the kingdom, realizing we are citizens of eternity, as we grow in this, as we go on receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, how can we not live in joy and thanksgiving? How can we not bathe in his goodness, knowing that we are the sons and daughters of eternity? Even if we die, the Bible says we live. So the worst thing that can happen to us, even worse than having our joy stolen, is that we do die. We do get sick. Maybe we don't recover from a stroke. Whatever the case may be, we are the joyful ones. Even in the hospital bed, even in those days, whatever the Lord has planned for us, whatever our time is, he knows. It's crazy to think we don't know when our day is, when our numbers are up. Our number is up. When our day is done. So up until that time, we are to live in a place of constant joy and to give God praise for where he has us today. Because sometimes if you're like me, I do get caught up in thinking, but I'm thinking of the next and the future, and you know, the past is the past. Okay, the rearview mirror is very small. But the windscreen when we drive is very big. So we're visionary people. We serve a visionary God. It's wonderful to get caught up in what he has for us, what he's not yet done, what our hopes are, the prophetic promises over us. It's wonderful to dream forward, but not at the expense of missing now. And we're called to be the people of the now. What has God put on our hands for today? Who are we walking out of our gathering together? Who are we going to touch? Who are we going to see? How does the kingdom of God break out Monday morning in the boardroom? Or that difficult client phone call? At the gym, when the guy leaves a sweaty mark on, you know, those things that you guys do in the gym. You lie on those little, you know, where all those germs are. You guys, you know what I mean. When you've been waiting in line and they're just jumping and take your place. We have to seize the moment and express ourselves. I realize that when it comes to thankfulness and gratitude and joy, we do need to express ourselves. And sometimes we're not the most expressive people, right? Brazil, a little bit more expressive than us. Dion, would you say 10% more? Within there, a lot more than that. Hey? We can be more expressive in our South Africanness, sometimes our culture, sometimes our subculture. But we cannot explode with joy and thanksgiving unless we express it and speak it, shout it, dance it, write it, testify it. We can't keep it in. Last week, we had the wonderful privilege of, Carla coming forward boldly saying, I want to respond to Jesus after the preach. And there was such joy on your face. I need to. I want to. I need Jesus now. We're like, first time we've ever met you. Well done for your courage and your boldness for coming here, standing with us. The joy that wells up inside of us in those moments is a joy from the Lord. But to express it and to let it out, we then join with the chorus of heaven, don't we? Because I can tell you, when salvation comes, when someone responds to the Lord's free gift of salvation and life through what Jesus has done, I can tell you now that heaven, when it rejoices, not if, expresses joy and celebration even way more than the people of Brazil do. And then way more than the people of Cape Town and South Africa do. So if they're explosive with joy and celebration in the heavenlies, what more is there for us to step in? And I'm no medical expert or haven't studied anything along those lines, but if anyone has, we will understand that to a measure, doctors, psychologists, people of that world will tell you that thankfulness and joy and gratitude goes a long way to healing. Laughter is the best medicine. So when Mark Pierce tells jokes, I get healed. When Mark tells jokes, I need to go someone really funny to get healed from the trauma of his jokes. No, I'm teasing. I'm teasing. Mine are even worse. But laughter is good. I want to laugh more. When you guys come to my house and tear into my house, please don't bring your circumstances. Bring your laughter and joy, okay? I'm teasing you. But we can laugh in the face of the enemy. Things are serious in this world. It's like so serious. And the kingdom is breaking in with joy. And sometimes we can tell our enemy to get lost. Laugh at him. Yes, life is serious. And there are things we need to deal with and take hold of. But man, let it start from a place of being thankful no matter what, wherever we are today. Okay.